ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So here, in this chapter, is going to present the difference between Ishwara Srishti and Jiva Srishti. So Jiva Srishti Dvaitam, Ishwara Srishti Dvaitam. Khambai Vagni Jalor Vyor Shadhyan Nadeha Kramadapi सम्भूता ब्रह्मणस्तस्माद् एतस्मादात्मनोऽखिलाः. सो जस्ट् लेट् अस् सी द ब्रेक् द वर्स् फस्ट्. खम् स्पेस् वायुः एर् अग्निः फयर् जलम् वाटर् उर्वी अर्थ् ओषधि प्लाण्ट् then annam food dehaha actually human being or living being. Kramad ami sambhutaha ami sambhutaha ami means these all these kramat in order beginning from space air, fire, water, earth, then the entire plant kingdom, and from the plant, the plants food, and from food, then these, all these physical bodies of all living beings, all of them originated, all of them came into existence sequentially. Sambhutaha, they all came into existence. They all originated. So here, where, from where? Brahmanaha, tasmat, etasmat, tasmat brahmanaha, etasmat atmanaha. So akhilaha sambhutaha. All these, so all these stand for the entire objective universe of living, non-living, mobile, immobile beings, the entire universe originated from that absolute reality implied by the word Brahma, which alone is obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, known by the term Atma. So, tasmad brahmanaha etasmad atmanaha. What does it mean? This innermost essence of every being is implied by the term Atma. And that same reality, which is the truth of entire universe, is looked upon as Brahma. So, from that Brahma, which alone is his Atma, from this Brahman, all these beings originated. See, this mantra, we are going to see how Vidyarana Swami is going to quote only from Upanishads. Now, by way of studying this whole chapter, you would have really learnt lots of important mantras from Upanishads also. So here, this is particularly this month, this verse is actually, we can say, the verse actually reproduces the actual teaching given in the Brahmanandavalli, the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, belonging to Krishna Yajurveda. In the very first opening Anuvakaha, and this is actually Taittiriya Brahmanam. It's a prose portion of the Upanishad. The first, very, very opening, first Anuvakaha, the section, okay, there is a mantra in prose form. There's a prose teaching in prose form. And the same teaching is given here by Vidyaranya Swami in the form of a verse. In verse form. And you all remember how the fourth section, the first anuvaka of Taittiriya Upanishad, I'm sure all of you have learned from me already. We have completed Taittiriya Upanishad teaching in the class. How does it begin? Brahmananda Valli. Brahma vida apnoti param tadeshabhyukta satyam jnanam anantam brahma yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman so oshnute sarvan kamaan saha brahmana vipaschiteti tasmadva etasmadatmana akashas sambhutah tasmad, from there tasmadva etasmadatmana akashas sambhutah akashadvayuh vayoragnih agnerapah adhyah prithivi prithivya oshadhayah oshadhibhyo nam annat purushah. And that portion discussing the creation, where Taittiriya Upanishad presents the creation. So that particular mantra, there the mantra is in prose form, and that mantra in prose form is here actually has been paraphrased by Vidyaranya Swami, given him of a verse. Okay, what does it mean here? So we can see, beginning from all this space onwards, akasha onwards, space onwards, until the living beings, which means space to living beings, these stand for the entire objective universe. So they all have originated from where? Brahman. So Taittiriya Upanishad presents the most beautiful Swarup, Brahma Swarupam, the direct definition of Brahma, the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman is given in Taittiriya Upanishad as Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Okay, that Brahman, which is actually of the nature of consciousness, which alone is in the form of pure existence, and this Brahman obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, which is this, the existence, is free from all threefold limitations. Therefore, it is Anantam. And from that Brahman alone, everything has come into existence, which means there is nothing. Akhila. The word Akhila, Akhila, Nikhila, actually means what? Entirety. There is nothing which is outside of Brahma, which everything has come into existence from Brahma. That's what is said there. Okay. Now, so, which means all Ishvara Srishtihi. So the entire cosmos is Ishvara Srishtihi. In this Ishvara Srishtihi, we should include our physical body. So our physical body is also Ishvara Srishti. Then we have to understand creation. See, negating creation is different. Okay. That later on. A different lesson. But here we have to see our own mind, our emotions, our sense powers, our physiological functions, our physical bodies. We have to include entire objective, within this objective universe, our own bodies, mind, sense complex should be included as part of Ishvara Srishti. Creation of the Lord. Okay, but we have to understand, we also talk about bhogya prapanchaha, isn't it? Bhogya prapanchaha. Bhogya prapanchaha means what? The objects of the world of objects of enjoyment. The world of objects of enjoyment is said to be bhogya prapanchaha. And this, suppose in this entire Ishwara Srishti creation, anything which becomes an object of enjoyment, anything of this world which becomes object of enjoyment is purely because of karma. So anything and everything of this world of the object, world of objects of enjoyment, which becomes an object of enjoyment, is purely because of one's own karma. And that which becomes an object of enjoyment because of karma, one's own karma, is said to be what? Jiva Srishtihi. I'll explain that to you. It's a Jiva Srishtihi. So anything and everything which does not get included in Jiva Srishti is actually should be understood as Ishwara Srishtihi. There is amazing fact here we need to understand. A given object of this universe or a given situation in this universe can be looked upon as Ishwara Srishti by one person. The same thing can be looked upon as can become a Jiva Srishti for another person. How that one thing can be a Jiva Srishti, how the same thing can be Ishwara Srishti? We'll see that actually. Suppose we hear about floods in Japan. The news, we hear the news on television. Okay, there are lots of big floods in Japan. So we look at what from here when you see that. Oh my God, look at the floods. YouTube video also. We can think for us it is Ishwara Srishtihi. When the given situation does not affect you, afflict you, you objectively see it. It is Ishwara Srishtihi. How to see that? The same floods, same Japan, same floods, same we see a lot of people suffering, paining. It does little makes you feel sad, but still you look at it as what? That is only Ishwara Srishtihi, Bhagavan's Srishti. Bhagavan's Srishti means Bhagavan's order. Suppose my dearest person, my family member, is one of the people who got afflicted there. My distant cousin, who is sitting there in Japan, working there. And he is one of the victims of the problem there. Then it causes a lot of pain, agony in me. That pain I am suffering, okay, what I go through, because of that given situation is what? Jiva Srishti. Why do I go through pain? Why does the floods happening in Japan? Thereby that somebody got affected. That affected me. I suffer that pain that I go through, for which the nimittam is Japan floods. My relative who's living there in Japan becomes nimittam for me to go through the suffering pain. That is because of karma. It is not the situation. It is not the Japan floods. It is not in my cousin who is sitting there. Not even become, he is becoming a victim of the problem, really causes my pain. But only nimittam, instrumental in triggering the pain that I already have in my subconscious. Though external situation which becomes nimittam, instrumental for the pain to surface, for me to go through that agony, why that pain comes to me? Why should it affect me? Not anybody else. my friends who are with me, who also watch the same program, they are not at all affected. They just look at it, they just go away. Because for them it is Ishwara Srishti. For my friends it is Ishwara Srishti. When I suffer, I try to contact him. What happened to him? Why it is happening? Is he okay, safe or not? There's a lot of pain, agony. That pain what I'm suffering is what? Each cause, that situation becomes Jiva Srishti. Okay? The same situation becomes a Jiva Srishti. Why? I look at it, this situation is of this Japan having floods, my cousin suffering there, which is actually Nimittam, is looked upon as the cause. I look at it as Karanam, Dukkha Karanam, Dukkhasya Karanam. When it is looked, external situation is looked upon as the cause of my suffering, it becomes Jiva Srishti. What is Jiva Srishti? Remember, simply whatever is, looking anything as it is Ishwara Srishti. If I think this is responsible for my sorrow, this causes my sorrow, it becomes Jiva Srishti. Is it clear? Same situation, for one person, it is Ishwara Srishti. For another person who is affected by the situation, who mistakes the external situation to be the cause for one's pain, it becomes Jiva Srishti. Therefore, Jiva Srishtihi is actually bondage of karma. Jiva Srishti is what? Bondage of karma. Bandaha. Karma bandaha. So here what Shastram says, let me tell you what is the actual lesson. What Shastram says here is, like that so many occasions, the same occasion, suppose you see even the same occasion, same situation, same incident affects a group of people, about one given person, does not affect others. The people who are not affected by anything what is happening outside, they are very objective towards everything. They do not internalize anything. They see, they look at it, they see it as long as what is happening outside does not affect you, afflict you, it is, you are seeing it as it is. It is Ishwara Srishtihi. But when you internalize a situation, how, what does it mean by saying internalize a situation? This has happened, and because of this situation, I am suffering, I suffer, I go through pain, and this situation, if it did not happen, I would not have suffered. Such a situation, such an occasion, such an incident, which has happened, where people associated with me, close to me, are affected, afflicted, and that has caused a lot of pain in me. This particular, what has happened outside is responsible. It is a cause for my suffering. Mama dukkhasya karanam, no, jagat. If the world or situation, people or relationships, anything is mistaken to be responsible or cause for my suffering and my pain, why there's a pain? Caused by my own karma is actually Jiva Srishtihi. Okay? Is Jiva Srishtihi, Ishwara Srishtihi. And therefore, now what is the problem? Ishwara Srishtihi in no way can cause any pain or pleasure to anybody. Ishwara Srishtihi is just here for us to perceive, see, experience and enjoy. Just seeing anything. It should not stir. It cannot cause any pain in you. Really speaking, nothing in the creation, nothing which is happening outside really causes any pain in you. The world is not at all responsible for your pain. What is happening outside, you know, desirable, undesirable situations, the so-called situations. No situation can really cause any pain, does not cause any pain. Not all responsible, not the cause. But why do I look at it that way? But when the pain comes, whenever pain surfaces, sorrow surfaces, the grief surfaces, anger surfaces, discomfort, when you feel discomfort, when you feel burdened and suffering, and whatever situation you are, people you are associated with, things associated with, the place where you live, you know, whatever is there, whatever is happening outside, that is mistaken to be responsible for our pain, mistaken to be the cause of your pain. That actually you are helplessly mistaken. We are helplessly mistaking. Not that we want to mistake it. We cannot see differently. We do not know how to see it differently. No? Why we mistake? Because we cannot help mistaking. That is how we can perceive. Because we are helpless. That is called Jiva Srishtihi. Therefore, here the whole teaching is for us to live in Ishvara Srishtihi. If you are living in Ishvara Srishti, you are free of pain and suffering. You have to come out of your Jiva Srishti, your own creation, your own projections. So what is the teaching here? Therefore, it is very, very important to consider. Very, very important to see the fact of one's own body, mind. Fact of one's own body, mind, and complex being Ishvara Srishti. Thereby, we can gradually become, you know, detach ourselves from even our own body, mind, and complex. So gradually, we have to move out of our own creation to Ishvara's creation. Jiva Srishti to Ishvara's Srishtihi. So in order to see Ishvara's creation more, gradually to not to see our own creation, there is some analysis is required. Our Vidyaranya Swami presents that analysis beautifully in these verses. From which verse? From this verse onwards. Until, in fact, 12 verses, 11 verses is going to discuss this until 13th verse. And for which Vidyaranya Swami takes quotations, statements from Upanishads themselves. So, let us see the next, that line there. So, tasmad yetasmat brahmanaha akilaha kam vayu agni jalor vyadi. All these things have come into existence, which means the law Ishvara was there, and Ishvara, it seems, visualized that wanted to multiply as many jivas and the universe. So for which Ishvara Shakti, the Maya Shakti itself becomes many forms, and one and the only consciousness, Para Prakritihi, the consciousness, manifests existing in that many, those many forms of Maya. There are many, many for many manifestations, the manifestations of only consciousness. The manifestations are many because the Maya's produced physical forms are many, which serve as manifesting medium. Therefore, it is like how one and only sun above illumines many opaque things, and every opaque thing becomes reflecting medium for the sun. Therefore, there seems to be many reflections of only sun. There can be many, many, many reflections of only sun because of reflecting medium in terms of opaque things are many. Similarly, the inert material physical forms or material forms, which are all Maya caused physical forms, are many, the plural in number. Therefore, manifestations of consciousness are also many, when the consciousness is one. Therefore, here it is said that Ishvara, had a wish to become many. Really speaking, Ishvara does not have any wish or desire of his own. So, Ishvara's desire, Bhagavan's desire, is only to help the jivas, individual beings, to enjoy, to fulfill their own desires. And in order to help them fulfill their desires, Bhagavan has blessed them with physical forms. I mean, the abode of enjoyment and the instrument of enjoyment. Bhagavan has blessed every jiva, every individual, the abode of enjoyment called physical body, and the instruments of enjoyment called sense organs, organs of actions, etc. Why? To help them fulfill their desires. Therefore, fulfill their desires, also enjoy, experience the results of their own karmas. It results of their past karmas, parabdha karma. So every jiva has to exhaust one's parabdha karma phalam. How can a jiva exhaust parabdha karma phalam? To exhaust the parabdha karma phalam, to enjoy the phalam, success or failure, loss or gain, pleasure or pain, to exhaust the enjoyment of paths of opposites, only by going through paths of opposites, one can exhaust one's punya papams of the past actions. In fact, what we go through in our day-to-day life, the paths of opposite you are going through in life, it is actually nothing but our own, the results of punya papams of the past karma. For us to be able to enjoy, experience, exhaust the punya papams of our own punya papa karmas, we need this physical body and other subtle aspects. For Bhagavan only desires to help the jivas to enjoy, to experience, to exhaust the punya papams, for which Bhagavan has blessed us with bhogish ayatanam and bhoga sadhanani. Isn't it? Instruments of experience, instruments of enjoyment, instruments of knowledge, the abode of enjoyment, instruments of actions, mind, subtle, sukshma, sthula, shairam, everything Bhagavan has blessed us with in order to help us fulfill our desires, also to enjoy, to exhaust our punya papa karma phalam. So Bhagavan does not have desire of anything of his own, but the desire on the part of Bhagavan is to help the individual jivas to go to fulfill their desires and to exhaust their punya papam, for which Bhagavan has blessed us with whatever we need in terms of body mansions complex. You can understand Bhagavan's wish, Bhagavan's desire is like the desire of a wise person. A wise person's desire in this universe, in this world. Wise person's desire is only for the well-being of the world. Wise person does not have any desire for his happiness. He is not dependent on fulfilling one's action, fulfilling something for his happiness. He is already reveling in vision of fullness. There is no need for him to fulfill any desire for his happiness. But still, if at all a wise person has a desire, that desire is only for the well-being of the society. It's called loka sangraham. Loka sangraha. Loka sangraha nimittam. Even a wise person does something sometimes. Therefore, similarly, so Bhagavan's desire, Bhagavan's wish is like the wish of a wise person. Well-being of the universal well-being is the only intention, only the aim. Then, therefore, having such a desire, Bhagavan also did some tapas. In fact, what is Bhagavan's tapas? Did Bhagavan do any action? We understand Bhagavan is of the nature of actionlessness, essentially. Bhagavan does not need to do any action. Bhagavan cannot do any action. We understood already. But what does it mean by saying Bhagavan did tapas? We have to remember here, in any Upanishad, suppose we come across this expression, Bhagavan did tapas. In fact, Bhagavan's tapas, Ishvara's tapas, must be understood as visualization. Ishvara's tapas must be understood as visualization. What is visualization? Knowing is visualizing. Look at this now. Ishvara's tapas is equal to visualization. Visualizing means knowing. Therefore, tapas is knowing. Tapas means knowing. Ishvara did tapas means Ishvara knew. Ishvara knows. Knowing. Jnanameva tapaha. There is no other tapas. Otherwise, we'll think of Bhagavan sits there on a corner. He also competes with his devotee. Who does tapas? No. For Bhagavan, tapas means Ishvara's tapas is jnanameva tapas. Knowing is tapas. Knowing is implied by another word, visualization. Because all words confusing, okay? Be careful. Thanks to Dayananda Saraswati Swamiji, okay? Who would have cleared otherwise? Anyway, therefore, and here we have to understand the tapas again. Jnanam means what here? So tapas means visualization. Tapas implies visualization. Visualization actually means jnanam, knowing. And knowing of what? Knowledge of what? Knowing the law of karma is tapas of Ishvara. Being aware of the law of action is tapas of Ishvara. The awareness of the law of karma is tapas of Ishvara. Therefore, when you had understand, Ishvara, Bhagavan created this entire objective universe. Hope I made very clear now. So, that mantra, is it clear now? Can you count everything together now? Just chanting this verse. So, Bhagavan created from that Brahma, which is this Atma, from that Brahman alone, space onwards, all the living beings, the entire objective universe originated, came into being. Means, what should we understand here? Bhagavan, whose Swarupam is knowledge, and Bhagavan's tapas is nothing but being aware of the law of karma, not by an action, by its very nature, by its mere presence. Bhagavan, just by his presence, just by his mere existence, being aware of the law of karma is knowledge, which is tapas, which is visualization. Therefore, you say Bhagavan created the entire objective universe. That is what is said in this mantra, the Taittiriya Upanishad mantra. Okay. Don't forget, from this verse onward, the third verse onwards, until the 13th verse, in 11 verses, Vidyaranya Swami is going to help us analyze Ishvara Srishti, so that we can shift ourselves from our own projection to Bhagavan's creation. Okay. If you are in Bhagavan's creation, you are free of suffering. You are in your own creation, you can't help suffering. Okay. Therefore, we move on to the next verse now. Idam agresa devasid. Bahutvayata daikshata. Idam agresa devasid. Bahutvayata daikshata. Tejo brahmanda jadini. Sasarjeti cha samagaha. Tejo bannanda jadini sasarjeti cha samagaha idam agresa devasit bahutvayata daikshata tejo bannanda jadini sasarjeti cha samagaha. So now, let us see the word-by-word meaning. So, in the previous verse, Vidyaranya Swami quoted a Taittiriya Upanishad, okay, mantra, in his own verse form. And here, he quotes a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad of Samaveda. The contents of the sixth verse, are actually from the mantra, Chandogya Upanishad mantra belonging to Samaveda. Samagaha means Samaveda mantraha. In Samaveda mantra also, it is said in not only in Taittiriya Upanishad of Krishna Yajurveda, but also in Chandogya Upanishad of Samaveda, it is said, what is said here? Idam agre, idam agre, sat eva asit. Look at this now. Idam means idam jagat. Idam jagat means I am prapanchaha. This universe, the pronoun, this third person singular pronoun, this indicates the objective universe. This entire objective universe, including one's body, mind, and complex. Idam jagat agre. Agre means before. Before means when. Before this universe manifested. Before the manifestation of the universe. Before the origination of the universe. Means srishtehe prak. Agre means srishtehe prak. Before the origination of this universe. What was there? Sadeva asit. Idam agre sadeva asit. Sat alone was. Sat alone was. Literal meaning. Okay. Idam agre sat eva asit. Okay. Then. Bahutvaya. Bahutvaya tad aikshata. So asit with full stop. Idam agre sadeva asit. This entire universe, before its manifestation, was there only Sat, the existence. Brahma. Okay. And Tad means that Brahma, that Sat, that Brahman, that existence, that Sat, that reality, tad bahutvaya aikshata. Bahutvaya aikshata. Bahutvaya aikshata. Means that Brahman as Ishvara. Here the word Brahman, tad means what? Tad means Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha. That reality with its power, that absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, being endowed with its power called Maya, enjoying the status of being the Lord Ishwara. See, you had to say so much for Tad, okay? Tad is equal to what? That absolute reality Brahma, being endowed with its power, inseparable power called Maya, thereby having the status of being the Ishvara, the Lord as Ishvara, what now, visualized. So as Ishvara alone visualized, okay, visualized. Aikshata means visualized. Aikshata is a past tense verb of ikshate, visualized. What? Visualized for what? Tada aikshata, that's all. So bahutvaya, visualized to become many. Bahutva means to become plural. So Ishvara was alone. Brahman alone was there. And with this power, enjoying the status of being Ishvara, visualized means the tapas, means new. to become many, to become plural in number, which means to, so bahutvam implies becoming many. So to become many means visualized to bring this universe into existence, to create the universe. Creating the universe, how? Not as nobody's personal wish is involved here. As per the law of karma. So the Lord visualized to bring the universe into existence as per the law of karma, according to the law of karma, in order to help Jiva, in order to help Jiva to exhaust his karma, to enjoy pains and pleasures. This is the meaning. There is, when the Taittiriya also presents creation, all the different positions present creation, discuss creation, but you can see creation is completely different. The creation of the universe discussed in Taittiriya is different from the creation discussed in Chandogya Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad talks about five elements, you know, whereas in Chandogya Upanishad only three elements are discussed. Three elements are just mentioned. So the first two elements, subtle elements, space and air, you know, are not even mentioned. Chandogyam omits space and air because they are not perceptible through sense. No, they are not perceptible through eyes. Therefore, whenever we discuss creation, we should actually include other elements also which are not mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad. So here, see the second line now. Tejo bannanda jadini. Tejo means tejaha. The word tejaha means fire. Up, then water. So tejaha, up, tejop. Then anna, because tejaha, up, anna, becomes tejo banna, not ban, okay? Tejaha, up, anna. You break it, tejaha, up, anna, andaja. Break the words, tejaha, up, first pa, up, anna, andaja, adini. So tejaha, if you break it, tejaha, fire, up, water, annam, up water, then annam. Annam here does not mean food alone, it means earth. Tejaha, up, annam. Be careful, in this context, doesn't, of course, food, annam means food also. Up here means the earth. So tejaha, up, annam. So fire, water and earth. Whatever other two elements, Chandogya Upanishad omits those two elements, fire, air and space. But still we should include them here. Then andajam. After annam we have andajam. Anda means egg. So those beings born out of eggs are called andajani. Andajam means the creatures which are born out of eggs are called andajani. No, all birds, worms, insects, okay, and the jhan. Even lizard, etc. Lizard is not a bird, but it's andajam. Anyway, then jarayujam. We have andajani is there. Andaja adini. That adini stand for etc. So all forms of creatures. All forms of andaja adini. Adini stand for all forms of creatures. So we have four types of creatures. Adini stand for the expression, the word adini, mudaliyavai. Andajam mudaliyavai. Andaja adini, andajam etc. Etc means what? We have to include all other forms of beings, creatures. So andajani means beings, the living creatures born out of eggs, such as birds, worms, insects, etc. Then jarayujam, jara means actually jarayu, means our womb. So the physical forms are beings, creatures born or delivered directly out of the womb. Delivered out of the womb, born out of the womb are called jarayujani, mammals. So we all come under jarayujani. Jarayujani. So andajani, jarayujani, I mean the plural expression, andajam, andajani, jarayujam, jarayujani. Then shvedajam, shvedajani. Shvedajani means, shvedaha means sweat. Shvedaha means sweat. And the sweat actually makes everything moisture. Therefore, shvedajam means not sweat born, dampness, moisture born creatures such as fungi, fungus and all that. Then udvijjani, again udbhijjani, udbhijjam, udbhijjam, udbhijjam. See, udbinatti iti udbhijjam. That which is born breaking open. So the beings, some physical forms which come out breaking open the earth. How do the plants come? Even you put the seed under the soil, but it breaks open its own layer. It breaks open the earth. It comes out. For udbijjani. Suppose even if you don't put the seeds in the, when you soak any other things for your food also, you know, then molakattal and all, you don't know soil there. Simply it breaks open its own skin and comes out. Called udbijjani. All plants come under udbijjani. So, andajani, jarayujani, svedajani, udbijjani, udbhijjani. And then we have these all types of creatures, living beings. All the living beings in this world are can be easily categorized into four groups as andajani, jarayujani, svedajani, udbijjani. So all sthavaras, all plants come under the category of udbhijani. And all fungus, this mushroom, etc., come under svedjani. Of course, other directly born out of womb, all animals, mammals are jarayujani. And birds and worms, etc., andajani. Like that, we have the four types of living creatures which form the living beings of the whole cosmos. So all of them also, what now? So Chandogya Upanishad says, andajadini, tejo bannandajadini. In just one line, Chandogya Upanishad beautifully says, just one small line, tejo bannandajadini, means that one line stands for the entire objective universe, including your body, mind, sense complex. One line only. Sasarja, Bhagavan created. Sasarja is the past perfect tense of Sisrajati. Iti Samagaha. So the Samaveda mantra obtaining in Chandogya Upanishad also states this, what? Ishvara created, Bhagavan created this entire objective universe consisting of all forms of living creatures such as, you know, egg born, etc., right from what? All the elements, fire, water, earth, and plant, you know, all other beings. Okay, this is the literal meaning is over. What does it mean? This entire Ishvara created this entire universe. Ab, tejaha, ap, anna, andaja, adini, entire universe Ishvara created. And before the creation of this universe, there was only Sat. Before this universe manifested, only Sat was there. This is the literal meaning of the mantra, the shloka. Let us see the now. So, Samagaha means what? Samaveda mantra, that you know already. So, this Samaveda mantra, obtaining Tai Chandogya Upanishad also discusses the creation. There also it is mentioned, there also it is stated clearly, Ishwaraha created this universe. Who is Ishvara? Said, Sadeva Asit, pure existence alone was there. Only existence was. What? There's only pure existence. And a pure existence, my God, incomprehensible. It is not an, pure existence is not an object of knowledge, object of experience, not perceptible, not describable. It is not, you know, conceivable. And it is the pure existence, in the form of pure existence, the reality was. So reality and pure existence, one and the same, actually. Therefore, and this pure existence is implied with the term Brahma. And that Brahman alone is given the status of being the Lord Ishvara. Why? Because that reality, obtaining in the form of pure existence, implied by the term Brahman, is endowed with its inseparable power. Inexplicable power, anirvachaniya shaktihi, apremeya shaktihi, imperceptible power, inexplicable power, you know, the power, unmanifest power, undifferentiated power, that power known by Maya. Therefore, Brahman is looked upon as because reality is powerful, given the Ishvara status. Okay? Therefore, And the same existence alone is also said to be what? Of the nature of consciousness. Pure existence is in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Who says this? You know, again, Upanishads reveal the nature of reality, existence being consciousness. Therefore, so far as absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is pure existence, consciousness. So existence, consciousness principle is implied by the term Brahma or Atma. So Sat Chit Atma. Okay. Sat Chit Atma. Satyam Jnanam Brahma. This alone was Agre Asit. This alone was there in the very beginning. The beginning is what now? There's no beginning for Atma, okay? But before the universe originated, there was only this Atma. Therefore, the universe has evolved later on. Therefore, which means Atma was, Brahman was, this entire universe was Atma before. After evolution, you know, obtaining of universe, after manifestation, we call it a universe. So Sadeva Asit means the universe was there as the cause, in the causal form. The universe is Karyam Brahma and Atma is, from the standpoint of universe, you can say Atma was Karanam Brahma, Brahman was Karanam Brahma. You can say the water was before it became ocean, means water can be looked upon as Karanam, ocean can be looked upon as Karyam. Similarly, the whole universe which has evolved from Brahman is Karyam Brahma. Before the manifestation of universe, Brahman can be said to be what? Karanam Brahma. Because the effect always must exist. Before it becomes manifest as effect, it must have been in the form of its own cause. So now, this another verb is there, aikshata. Aikshata means sees, visualizes, means knows. So this absolute reality, Brahma, with its inexplicable power of Maya, alone is known as Ishvara. And as Ishvara visualized, tapaha tapati visualizes Bhagavan. Ishvara visualized new to bring this universe into existence. How can Ishvara bring the universe into existence? Even though Bhagavan Ishvara is endowed with the power of bringing the universe into manifestation, creating the universe, still Ishvara also is in a very law and order. Therefore, as per the law of karma, according to the law of karma alone, for jivas, for helping the jivas to exhaust their punya papams, Ishvara visualized to bring the universe into manifestation. So we understood how Isha created all these beings. Three elements. We had to include five, we had to understand five elements. Then four types of beings, living beings, non-living things, everything, the whole cosmos. Now, we have to remember here, not only human beings have sukshma sharirani, all living creatures have their own specific subtle bodies, sukshma sharirani. Even the plants have their own subtle bodies. But what is the difference between human sukshma shariram and animal sukshma shariram and other plant sukshma shariram? Wherever life is, there is a sukshma. Every living creature has its own sukshma, specific sukshma, subtle body. But the difference is there in sukshma. Which means the sukshma is only in the form of physiological function. All living beings have sukshma shariram only in the form of physiological functions. So prana pradhanam sukshma shariramiva sarvesham jantunam asti. Other living creatures do not have subtle body in terms of mind. Natu manav pradhanam sukshma shariram anyesham jantunam. Other living creatures do not have mind included in their subtle body. They have subtle body, subtle aspect also, but only prana is mainly prana. Not mind. Because, see, people may argue, they also have a nervous system. No. Their nervous system, the nervous system obtaining in other living creatures is different. Even they do not have a nervous system. That is why they do not have any emotional pain. Other creatures do not have such a thing called emotional pain. There's no feeling of pain. But all of them have prana. They breathe. The physiological functions are there. They breathe, they eat, they digest, they reproduce. Physiological functions are there. That is why they are also said to be praninaha. See, pranaha asya asti iti pranihi. A living creature is called pranihi because it has prana. It breathes. The physiological functions are happening. Excretion is there. Circulation is there. You know, everything is there. Therefore, any prana is very, very basic, fundamental system found in all living creatures. There is mind. And the presence of the mind becomes presence of mind alone helps us understand the difference in gradation. Among all the living beings. So they don't have actually mind. Okay. This much understanding we need to have for this verse. Therefore, Ishvara created. You had to be here continuously listen until 13th verse to finally analyze. Only those mantras are taken from different Upanishads to see how Srishti is described in different Upanishads. Completely different versions. but still Ishvara created. Doesn't matter what, there's different, what is difference found in creations are important. Ishvara created, that is more important. And what is the purpose? Not for Ishvara's own joy. Bhagavan is a sadist or what? Let me make this fellow suffer and see what, how they are suffering. No. Bhagavan did not create the universe for his joy, his pleasure, his pleasure. He created this to help individual go through one's karma in keeping with the law of karma. Okay. Vispulingayatha vannehe. Vispulingayatha vannehe. Jayante ksharatastatha. Jayante ksharatastatha. Vispulingayatha vannehe. Jayante ksharatastatha. Vividhas chijada bhavaha. Vividhas chijada bhavaha. Ityatharvaniki shrutihi. Vividhas chijada bhavaha. Ityatharvaniki shrutihi. Vispulingayatha vannehe. Jayante ksharatastatha. Vividhas chijada bhavaha. Ityatharvaniki shrutihi. Now you can make out iti atharvaniki shrutihi. First started with Krishna Yajurveda mantra from Taittiriya Upanishad. Then he quoted a verse from Chandogya Upanishad of Chandogya Samaveda. Now he is quoting a mantra from Mundakopanishad of Atharvana Veda. Look at this now. He says, how the creation has come into existence. So, Srishtihi discussed in Mundaka Upanishad is presented here. The specific mantra which talks about creation of universe. So, Srishti Prakaram of Mundaka Upanishad. Look at this. Vispulingaha. Vispulingaha. Yatha vannehe jayante. Vispulingaha yatha vannehe jayante. So vispulingaha means sparks. The sparks of fire. Fire sparks. Vispulingaha means spark. Vispulingaha sparks of fire. The many sparks, many sparks, jayante, are born. So yatha, just as many sparks are born, out of what? Vannehe, from fire. So vannihi is another word for agnihi. Vannihi, vahnihi, ha is silent. Therefore we say vannihi. Vannehe means agnehe. Vannihi is also ikaranta shabda. Agnehe, from fire, many sparks come, are born. Yatha vannehe vispulingaha jayante. Just as many sparks are born from fire, born out of fire, tatha, similarly, apadiye tatha, aksharataha from Brahman. Brahman here is implied by the word aksharam. Aksharataha, aksharat brahmanaha, from Brahman. Vividaha, varieties of chijadaha bhavaha. చిత్ జడాహ భావ మనం, చిత్ మీన్స్ కాన్షియస్ సెన్షియంట్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్, జడాహ మీన్స్ ఇనర్ట్ నాన్ లివింగ్ థింగ్స్. చిత్ జడాహ భావాహ, భావాహ మీన్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ బీయింగ్స్ థింగ్స్, చిత్ భావాహ మీన్స్ కాన్షియస్ సెన్షియంట్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్, జడాహ భావాహ మీన్స్ ఇన్సెన్షియంట్ ఇనర్ట్ ఇనర్ట్ నాన్ లివింగ్ థింగ్స్. ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ వెరైటీస్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ అండ్ నాన్ లివింగ్ థింగ్స్, సెన్షియంట్ అండ్ ఇన్సెన్షియంట్ బీయింగ్స్, కాన్షియస్ అండ్ ఇనర్ట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ బోర్న్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్రహ్మన్. ఓకే, హూ సేస్ దిస్? ఇతి ఆథర్వణికి శృతి. శృతి హియర్ మీన్స్ మంత్ర, వేద మంత్ర ఆఫ్ అథర్వణ వేద, మంత్ర ఆఫ్ అథర్వణ వేద. ఇన్ ది ఉపనిషత్ కాల్డ్ ముండక ఉపనిషత్, ఆల్సో ఇట్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్డ్ దట్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ది ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్ హెస్ ఒరిజినేటెడ్. సో వివిధ చిజ్జడా భావాహ, ఓన్లీ వన్ వర్డ్, ది ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్ ఇస్ మెంట్ బై ఓన్లీ వన్ వర్డ్, వివిధ చిజ్జడా భావాహ. వివిధ చిజ్జడా భావాహ ఇస్ వన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ మీనింగ్ ది ఎంటైర్ ఆబ్జెక్టివ్ యూనివర్స్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ అండ్ నాన్ లివింగ్ థింగ్స్, అనిమేట్ ఇన్అనిమేట్ బీయింగ్స్ హెస్ ఒరిజినేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ది అక్షరం, లైక్ ది స్పార్క్స్ ఆర్ బోర్న్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఫైర్, బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్. వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ మీన్? ఫైర్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ ఫైర్, బట్ స్పార్క్స్ ఆర్ మెనీ స్పార్క్స్ ఆర్ బోర్న్, బట్ ఫైర్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది డిఫరెంట్ స్పార్క్స్ ఇస్ వన్ అండ్ ది ఓన్లీ వన్ ఫైర్. ఫ్రమ్ వన్ బ్రహ్మన్, ఓన్లీ బ్రహ్మన్, ది ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్ ఆఫ్ వెరైటీస్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ అండ్ నాన్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ హాస్ ఒరిజినేటెడ్. దట్ సేస్ అథర్వణ ఉపర్ వేద మంత్ర ఇన్ found in Mundaka Upanishad. Okay, this is literal meaning now. See the purport now. Yatha vannehe vispulingaha jayante tatha aksharataha vividaha chit jadaha bhavaha jayante iti atharvaniki shrutihi vadati. Now, fire means not simply little fire, okay? Huge conflagration of fire. And from that fire, the innumerable countless sparks are born. When what happens? The cause of sparks are the effects. Fire is the cause. The huge fire is this cause. The sparks which are born are effects. Now, each and every spark which is born out of that huge fire has the same nature. What is the nature? Fire is very hot, and every spark also is hot. Fire is brilliant, every spark also is brilliant. Now, similarly here, all the sparks are of the same nature of the original fire. Similarly here, aksharataha, from that Brahman, Atma, Ishvara, who is essentially of the nature of consciousness and existence, all the jivas also are born out of that Ishvara. All the jivas are also are of the same nature. Jivas, which are like effects, are of the same nature of Atma, Ishvara, Brahma. So here, Bhagavan is meant by the word Sat in Chandogya Upanishad. And Bhagavan is meant by the word Brahma in Taittiriya Upanishad. And Mundaka Upanishad calls Bhagavan as Aksharam, Aksharam Brahma. So different names are used to mean Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? The powerful reality implied by the term Brahman is Ishvara, given the Ishvara status. The Ishvara alone as Brahma mentioned by, meant by different words. The word Sat actually means Ishvara in Chandogya. The word Brahma means Ishvara in Taittiriya Upanishad. And the word Aksharam means Ishvara in Mundaka Upanishad. Therefore, vividaha bhavaha, all varieties of living and non-living beings, there we saw, but here, varieties of living creatures are born out of Ishvara means every living being, where every non-living thing also, actually speaking, essentially of the nature of consciousness, existence, which is Ishvara. Therefore, living beings, animate living beings, or inanimate non-living things, all of them have originated from the Lord only. Suppose the doubt comes, oh, Ishvara is essentially of the nature of consciousness existence. How is it possible for this inert, insentient, inanimate beings to be born out of reality which is of the nature of consciousness? How can conscious being be born out of inert? How can inert beings be born out of conscious reality, conscious being? How can inert beings be born out of conscious being? So, Upanishad, definitely Upanishad has an answer for all such questions. Upanishad already assumes such questions from people like us. See, our physical body is sentient body, not a dead body. When we are alive, our body is all conscious and sentient. And we have hair growing on our head. Our hair grows even all over the body also. We have Roma and Loma. Roma means body, the Roma and Kesha. Body, the bodily hair is called Loma. And head, the hair going on the head is called Kesha. So hair in any form, Kesha or Loma. Then our nails also. No, nails, Nakha. Our nails are insentient. Our nails are inert, not sentient. And from conscious beings, the insentient, inert nails grow and the Loma grows, Kesha grows. It is possible. Similarly, from conscious Brahma being insentient, inert, beings are also born. Not only living creatures, non-living things are also born out of Brahma. It means they all have come into existence, manifested only from Brahma. That is the meaning. Please remember, we are only Upanishad. Now, Vidyaranya Swami's, I'm going to stop here. Vidyaranya Swami's effort is to show us where all Ishvara is said to be, you know, the source of creation. For this entire universe, what we experience, what we enjoy is not simply here. It is an amazing order. The universe itself, the evolution of universe, the manifestation of universe is actually is in conformity with, in keeping with the law of karma. And for this universe to manifest, there must be some substratum from where the universe becomes manifest, where it resolves. And that substratum is called Brahma reality, which is actually of the nature of consciousness existence. And it is this Impravacham Brahman Atma. It is this Brahman is given the Ishvara title because that power of becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest is not outside of this consciousness. Therefore, this Brahman is given Ishvara title. Look at Ishvara as the one from whom everything has come into existence. So the Srishti Prakara is different. The discussion on Srishti differs from Upanishad to Upanishad, but actually everywhere Srishti is discussed and where Brahman is said to be the origin of everything. Why Upanishad presents? Just for us to understand Ishvara Srishti, okay? We have to understand what is Ishvara Srishti. Don't worry, we'll go for some more mantras. After the 13th mantra, analysis will begin. Until then, only seeing. Nice to know, isn't it? You're effortlessly understand different Srishti of different Upanishads. Then we analyze how to understand Ishvara Srishti. Then, where is the pain then? Where is the dukkham then? Where is the grief then? Where is sadness? Where is birth? What is death? Why death causes pain? Why birth causes sometimes pleasure, sometimes pain? You know, why changes cause? What is growth? What is old age? Why suffering? Why these natural calamities? My God, where is my projection? What is my projection? Why it should cause, how a jagat can be responsible for my pain, etc. We'll understand gradually. So be with me. We'll continue. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.